This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. And along with Sean Belint, welcome to Sports Saturday. And Sean, it is football semifinal day, but there was a little bit of a semifinal last night up in Rochester.
Holy
few
cow.
Few people there.
What a game. And, boy, this is what's interesting. And I heard Ken Leonard refer to this a few times. That, if you made it to the first round, that spring season, no big deal. But when you start calculating these teams, that have gotten this deep, boy, it is a grind because there is a cumulative effect. If you got pretty banged up in that spring season and SAG in Rochester, that's kind of Shakespeare. Father against son and
father's gotten the best of son, I think 9-4.
Yeah. And, it's not one of those rivalries where the son is trying to, vanquish dad. I mean, it's like it's the most awkward relationship. They like,
It's the least favorite game of the year for both of them.
I love this. I hate this. You know, it's darn interesting. And, Ken Leonard is such a neat guy. And, man, what a neat deal to be associated with him. But Derek Leonard, I said it before, and had a bunch of, I used to call football for Freeburg before they let the evil NFHS take over down there. The school board ignored these great boosters and what they built. And they went up to Rochester, and everybody was mystified by Derek Leonard. And the way he carries himself, you wouldn't have any idea this is one of the greatest high school football coaches to ever hit the sideline in Illinois history.
And I mean that's kind of the secret to his success, isn't it? Kind of maybe unassuming when, from that standpoint, it's like, wait a minute, you've got how many championship rings? And you think about Ken Leonard though, and the coaches who span decades like he has, the adjustments and the changes in terms of relating to how kids are each generation, very impressive.
It's interesting, and they're not just peas in a pod. Ken Leonard's more like the Vince Lombardi, that kind of presence kind of guy. And Derek Leonard is this, jet fuel genius, Mike Martz, not maybe a Mike Martz personality, but, who was it? Sid Gilman was a legend of the AFL, if I've got it right. One of those guys. So he's like the rocket scientist. I mean, pun intended.
So SHG off to what will be their 11th state championship game appearance, and they will play either Joliet Catholic or Richmond Burton for the 4A final.
I heard that Joliet Catholic really came back from the abyss, that they are loaded, so it won't be easy. But at least they don't have to play a 10 a.m. game. I mean, I don't know about you. I say take one, do like you do with basketball or whatever. I'd say split up 1A to 4A. Have them somewhere south of I-80 because the 1A to 4A championships are dominated by teams south of I-80. And then.
That's interesting.
You want to put 5A to 8A in DeKalb? Fine.
I know when Staunton was up in the championship game, I think it was 2013, they were 2A, so they played the 1 o'clock game. But I remember Carl and I on the way up talking about this, like, boy, I'm glad they aren't 1A and playing at 10 a.m. Because, yeah, that's just an early start.
That's just, yeah, it's no fun.
No. Well, it's fun, but maybe not quite as fun as it would be if it was a 1 o'clock kickoff. You know who always has fun is Dave Kane. And he had a lot of fun last Saturday night as he was inducted into the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum Hall of Fame. And Dave is good enough to join us here this morning on Sports Saturday. And, Dave, good morning, sir. So I guess, do you sign all your autographs now with HOF?
Oh, yeah. HOF, whatever this year is, 2021. No, not really. I signed that night. I signed two autographs.
That's kind of a neat feeling.
I'm not used to that.
Dave, just I know that an honor like that, it means the world to you.
Well, yes, yeah, certainly. And, I mean, the BRS Baseball Museum is just, and it's a really special, whatever you want to say, organization, institution, that's sort of a celebration of baseball, I guess in Central Illinois and especially, Morgan County with, Jim Bottomley, Red Ruffing, and Ray Schalk. So that means a lot. And I think it's if I understood correctly, I guess I'm the second media member to be honored, which is you know, very, very flattering. And the first one was, you know, our friend Terry Cote, and that you know, that means a lot to sort of follow him. So it was pretty special.
That's a dynamic duo there.
Well, I'm telling you, classic.
Dave,
you've had a chance to reinvent yourself without reinventing yourself, so to speak. You know, still alive and well in the radio side of things. Is there hope for the sports writer? You know, I pictured, like, I grew up around Norm Sanders in high school. We bugged him, like, hey, I love your column. You know, and I pictured him standing there, you know, with that stoic face with an umbrella till he was 85 years old, still talking about the DuPont Tigers and everything else. And,
right.
You know, social media is still an outlet for his knowledge, but do you think there is a road for the sports writer with institutional knowledge to have the kind of career where they wind up, well, in Hall of Fames?
Well, that's a good question, Sean. You know, obviously, you know, what I'm doing now, I would say very part-time, you know, for WFMB and 1450. I do a call-in show one day a week with Larry Tate. But then also, right now I've been writing just a column one day a week about high school sports, and right now it's been about football, but we're about to turn that. You know, I always think there's going to be some sort of an avenue for writing, whether it's, you know, kind of what I'm doing, on our website or blogging or something like that. But I don't know, you know, but you know, the so-called old days, and they weren't that long ago, where the traditional daily newspaper, where you know, on a Friday night, you go out and cover a game, and then you write up the story, and you try to make a deadline and all that. I'm not sure how much longer that's going to last. I mean, my couple friends who are still at the SJR, Ryan Mahan and Bill Welt, they were both at the SHG Rochester game last night, and they were writing stories, but mainly for the SJR website. And, unfortunately, the game story, so to speak, won't be in an actual print edition until tomorrow morning's paper. So unfortunately, I miss those days of, you know, being able to open the newspaper on a Saturday morning and read a lot of game stories. Unfortunately, just the dynamics of the industry now, it's not going to happen anymore, I don't think. So I don't know. I think there's always going to be room for the written word, but it's certainly taking different forms now. That's for sure.
Talking with Dave Kane. And Dave, what was always so special about your coverage was kind of your behind the scenes, in depth stories about the kids themselves, and hopefully that won't be lost here as maybe we transition to a different era. But you think about that game last night with Rochester and SHG. You know, you talk about storylines. That thing was ripe with them.
Well, I got to thinking, for the State Journal Register, I covered Rochester in the years before they joined the Central State Eight. Then we had different, you know, as they say, beat responsibilities. So I hadn't actually been to a Rochester game at Rocket Booster Stadium in about 10 years. So it brought back a lot of memories as soon as I was there. But yeah, it obviously, you know, the number one thing, obviously the father and son, Ken Leonard and Derek Leonard. It's hard to believe now that this was the 14th time their teams have met, you know, including a couple of playoff games. So that in itself is, that's probably the overriding thing. But, a lot of other stories are there. Hank Beatty, just an incredible athlete, incredible player for Rochester. I mean, they utilized him so many ways. I mean, he played quarterback, he played receiver. He made an unbelievable touchdown catch last night. Just tremendous. He's going to go to Illinois probably as a receiver. But he was, unfortunately, I think he had some cramping problems last night as the game went on, and I think that had kind of an impact on the outcome of the game. But a lot of other players. You know, Ty Lott, the quarterback for SHG. He's been outstanding all year, and not that he's been overshadowed or anything like that, but I think last night maybe sort of a, I don't know, maybe his best performance in a big situation so far this season. So a lot of storylines there. That was the only, as far as I know, the only semifinal statewide played last night. So even that was sort of a story, as I say, the only game in town. So all the other semis will be today, including Joliet Catholic and Richmond Burton, and SHG will get that winner next Friday night.
I guess that's another dad-son agreement where, okay, whoever wins this thing can go up and watch that game tomorrow and do a little scouting in person, the whole team.
Right, yeah. And, you know, some of us posed that question to Ken Leonard. He wasn't, you know, in today's era with, you know, with huddle and you know, all the video stuff, you know, you have so many different resources to do scouting for teams. So he was, at least Ken himself was kind of noncommittal about whether he was, I think the game's at Richmond Burton this afternoon. I get the impression at least some of his assistant coaches were going to go up there. And as he said, there was no doubt coaches from Joliet Catholic and Richmond Burton were there in Rochester last night.
Isn't that the guy who married Liz Taylor? But, oh, sorry, it's a high school.
Yeah, right. Richmond Burton, yeah.
Bad jokes galore. Back to you, Tim.
Dave, there's always so much that we could talk about with you, and I just want to get your take kind of on the small school side of things, because that's where you've made your bread over the years. But when we look at 1A and 2A, you know, Pena had such a phenomenal year, but they just kind of ran into the buzzsaw that is Nashville last week.
Yeah, they did. You know, I'll admit the only time I had a chance to see Pena was the week before. They played a very good game in beating Maroa Forsyth, you know, in the second round. It was an exceptional year for Coach Higgins and his team. You know, and a good, you know, a good year for the Central in general. You know, Carlinville had a very good season. You know, several other schools, and you know, and the, you know, as far as the South Central is something, and I know you've talked about it a number of times on your shows. Look out for Hillsboro.
Yeah.
You know, they started 0-5, but they finished 4-5, and you know, I think about that Paris game; they lost 3-0. So, you know, I think the South Central and North Mac is coming into the South
right.
Central next year, so that adds another dimension to South Central football. But yeah, Pena was, you know, kind of the story for the South Central this year. And of course, the Sangamo up here in the Springfield area. To be honest, I thought, you know, Athens and Williamsville made it to the third round. I thought of those two, I thought Athens might have the better chance, mm-hmm. maybe to get past Carrollton, and they just dug too big of a hole, and they just couldn't quite dig out of it. And Williamsville ran into a, you know, a traditionally very strong Tolono Unity team. Last week, so unfortunately, and somebody pointed out this will be the first time in I can't remember how many years, a number of years where the Sangamo won't have at least one team in a state championship game, and of course that you know kind of includes Maroa making several appearances over the years, but that's a little bit different for the Sangamo this year.
Hmm. I'll tell you, it is special, and I think. It wasn't that long ago. I think, you know, you had SHG, and it was there wasn't a lot of great high school football up there. There was a time not that long ago. Then all of a sudden, all of these Sangamo teams have some big highs, and you know, of course, the Rochester program has been excellent for a while, and then and we see Rashad Rochelle explode over at Springfield High.
Right.
It is. I mean, high school football in that town's changed. I've said it. Like in Springfield and surrounding areas, it's like an economic development engine, and especially when you think of struggling restaurants, it really is a mover. You know, I don't care if you're going down to Auburn or you know, wherever the case may be.
Right. No, that's very very good point. And you first you were talking about the Central State A programs, you know, Chad Glenwood, you know, and Glenwood fans up this way, they always remind SHG fans that. Glenwood actually won the first state title. You know, they won it in 98. And then, of course, SHG has won, I think, 5 state championships since then. But yeah, and I can't really put my finger on what, you know, if there was kind of a tipping point or a turning point, but between the Central State 8 developing a lot of very good programs, and then the Sangamo, also, you know, Williamsville, and, you know, and Athens has been strong, and of course Auburn, you know, and when Maroa Forsyth came into the Sangamo, that really, again, added another dimension to that conference. You know, Maroa was always a, you know, kind of a household name also. So, yeah, it you know, 15 or 20 years ago, you know, I would have always said, oh, basketball is still the main thing in the Springfield area, and it's still very big. But the success of the, you know, the CS8 and the Sangamo, it's football is definitely a big deal up here.
Dave Kane, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. Always great to catch up with you, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the line.
Okay, hey, Tim and Sean, thanks. It's great to talk to you. I know we got 1 week left of state football championships games, and then it's time for hoops, so here we go.
We love hoops, don't we? Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep. See you, Dave. That is Dave Kane, the recent inductee to the Bottomley Roughing Chuck Baseball Hall of Fame Museum. And really, you can line up any Hall of Fame for, you know, in terms of, like, local coverage. You can probably name it after him. Forget about putting him in it. Just name it after him, and you're off to a good start.
Amen.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we are going to talk with new Litchfield boys basketball coach Nick Gernt when Sports Saturday rolls on.
923 right here on FM 106. Some of our Sports Saturday sponsors include Kurt's 24-Hour Towing in Litchfield. Call 324-2400. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. And Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Belent.
Hi, Jennifer Graham. Thank you very much back here on Sports Saturday as the girls' basketball season is now in full swing and the boys' basketball season tips off on Monday, and always a very exciting time. We still got all the football games today, of course. Big one in 1A has Carrollton at Central A&M. That'll be a 3 o'clock kickoff in Moequa as Carrollton looking for their first trip to state since 2014. Central A&M looking for their seventh trip to state in their ninth semifinal. So that's a big game in 1A. St. Teresa's at Nashville in 2A. That'll be a 1 o'clock kick. And then Mount Carmel at Tolono Unity, a titanic matchup there, 2 o'clock kick in 3A. And again, SHG will play for the 4A title. They'll get either Joliet Catholic or Richmond Burton. That game today at 2 o'clock up in Richmond. In terms of girls basketball action today, the Litchfield Turkey Tournament gets underway at 1 o'clock. Nokomis will take on Southwestern. Litchfield will take on Carlisle. That will be at 2:30. Coming up next week, the Litchfield boys will head off to Waterloo to begin their season, and it's a new era in Litchfield basketball as Nick Gernt takes over as his first year as the Purple Panther head coach. And Coach Gernt joins us here on the phone this morning. Good morning, Nick.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, we're doing fantastic. It's great to talk to you. First off, congratulations on the job. How's it going so far?
Really well. I'm extremely, extremely excited to be here, grateful for the opportunity. And the players are just, man, I got a great group of kids this year.
You know, Nick, I happened to catch a little bit of your practice on Tuesday as I was there for the girls' game, and I was impressed with the energy level and kind of just the attention to detail, to where when a mistake was made, it wasn't just blow it off, it's practice. There was frustration and agitation like there would be in a game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, what you allow at practice, you know, kind of manifests itself in the game. And, you know, we're trying to teach, you know, as much as possible. Like, we're trying to make, you know, complete basketball players. So, you know, we're trying to have high energy. We're trying to have fun. But we're also, you know, we understand, or we're trying to get into place what it means to be a really, really top flight basketball program.
And Nick, you were obviously hired late in the game in terms of the off season. So just talk a little bit about how condensed that time frame has been from the time you got the job to all of a sudden, wow, it's time to start practice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was a whirlwind week and a half there for me when I interviewed and then was, you know, hired the very next day. You know, it's been a little challenging with putting, you know, my philosophy and, you know, getting guys, you know, prepared for our game against Waterloo on Tuesday. But I mean, the players have bought in. Like, I couldn't believe they have, you know, they're ready to be, you know, successful as well. And it's really shown, like, you know, like you said, like, you know, they're taking control of the practices as well and holding guys accountable and, you know, really, you know, like making sure everybody's on the same page and bought in.
Hey, Coach, you're talking about your philosophy. What is it?
You know, we're working right now. Like our philosophy is being the toughest team in the conference. You know, that's our goal. And you know, we want to play hard. I mean, we're gonna, you know, hang our hats on defense. You know, we're gonna be ultra aggressive. We're gonna look to push the pace as much as possible, but we're also, you know, gonna be valuing the ball and making sure that we're playing under control and not, you know, just running up and down the court.
Hey, Coach, I know numbers are everything as far as having enough kids suited up, having quality practices. How are your numbers looking? And has maybe a new coach, new opportunities kind of energized things?
Yeah, definitely. You know, numbers are, we think we've got 22 in the program so far. You know, we're pretty young. We got 11 sophomores and 6 or 7 freshmen. And we got 4 juniors and only 1 senior. So, you know, we're young, but yeah, we've got probably 10 to 12 guys that I feel comfortable that can contribute and, you know, play quality minutes in a varsity basketball game, which is, you know, really helped out at practice. Cause I mean, one of the things that we do every single day is compete, and we're making each other better every single day, which is, you know, something that a lot of programs can't say because, you know, you might have some that are heads and tails above everybody else, but we've got, you know, like I said, 10 to 12 guys that I feel can really contribute and, you know, really help us in multiple different ways.
Talking with Nick Gernt, the new Litchfield boys basketball coach, and you mentioned the 11 sophomores. And, Coach, that's a group that has been anticipated at Litchfield for a while. There's a lot of different types of talent there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that group is solid. We've got, you know, some bigs out of that group that are extremely athletic. We've got some guards that can, you know, really handle the ball and shoot. You know, and kind of pairing that with the junior class has really been helpful. I mean, our juniors are, you know, strong and athletic as well. And then bringing in a couple of freshmen that are, you know, kind of pushing that sophomore class as well. You know, I can tell, like, just in the, you know, 2 weeks here that we've had to practice, you know, like, our freshmen are getting heads and tails better because they're going against that group every single day.
I'll tell you, it is, it's quite a process. And, I know it was, maybe not, quite what, you saw with, football, but yeah, a truncated schedule last year. I can imagine getting, people into opening season shape has been, certainly different than in the past.
A little bit. Yeah. We've had, you know, open gyms. We've had, you know, steady flow of guys coming in when they are, you know, when their fall sports seasons were done. But I mean, our practices are, you know, fast paced. We're constantly moving. We're constantly getting up and down the floor. And I mean, that's where our conditioning kind of comes in, is through our practices. Like, you know, we are constantly working these guys. And, you know, I've seen, you know, the conditioning, I feel like, has been, you know, really ramped up over the past 2 weeks because guys are just, you know, getting in shape by what we're doing in practice every day.
And Nick, you know, coming from Paxton Buckley Loda, when you're at a small public school, you got to share your athletes, and so it's just a matter of time management.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I love, you know, the fact that we have, you know, most of our players are multi-sport athletes. I mean, we've got, you know, baseball players and football players and soccer players and cross-country players, and I mean, it's fantastic. Like, that's what we want. We want to build up the whole athletic program here at Litchfield, not just basketball. Like, we want to see every sport succeed.
You know, Coach, I don't know that much about the rivalries, what have you, in the Ford County area, but certainly close in Vermilion and Champaign. I have to think you're part of that culture. Just some great rivalries there, and it seems to be an area where the fans are very devoted, and you come in with a great experience of building programs, just watching everything in that neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I still have, you know, Gibson City GCMS. I still, they're still my rivals right now, like, being from Paxton Bus. Like, they are, you know, they are 100% always my rivals. So, yeah, and it's, you know, and with being, you know, when I played there, I mean, we played some really high-level competition. And, I mean, we, you know, you're just Assistant Parks. You are perennial state power, you know, so. But yeah, we had rivalries are definitely something that I love to be a part of. You know, it was always important to get up for that Gibson game. It didn't matter the record. It was, you know, you were going to be in a battle.
Coach, obviously Hillsborough will be your big rival now, but you guys are going down to Waterloo to start the year. Just talk a little bit about what you expect to see down there. These early season tournaments, it's hard to know what to expect.
Yeah, exactly. You know, not really being from the area, you know, that area, you know, like, I've been watching film on Waterloo a little bit. You know, they're athletic. They want to push the ball. They're going to play, you know, tough man-to-man defense. So, and then, you know, there's some other schools like Freeburg and, Valmeyer and Waterloo Jabot that, you know, it's tough not knowing teams, but that's always kind of a blessing too when you go to tournaments. Like, I love playing against teams that we're not really going to see in the regular season or in the conference. So that way we can, you know, kind of test ourselves and kind of see where we're at, you know, with some of the other areas in the state.
Well, Coach, I'll just tell you, Waterloo is less intimidating now because, you know, they've got the campus south of town. It used to be they'd have to cross the cemetery. They'd have to walk through the cemetery to get to the football field. And so it's a little less gothic these days.
Yeah.
Coach, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. We look forward to talking Litchfield Purple Panther basketball throughout the year.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Coach Nick Gernt. And, you know, Sean, when you get hired that late, it is, I don't know that you ever feel like you've gotten caught up, you know, maybe until the actual season is over. But it sounds like the attitude is where it needs to be. The focus is where it needs to be at the start of the year.
Yeah. You know, the balance between respecting, you know, the road they have taken to get to this point and, you know, but at the same time, hey, it's a reset button, new guy in charge here. So yeah, it seems like a great balance and, the right level of enthusiasm.
Right.
Sometimes you get a guy that comes in and, oh man, we've just got the greatest thing in the world. And you know, you get everybody all excited and, the whistle blows and, you know, if you don't get the results right out of the chute, you know, all of a sudden, bam, you get like that, deflated balloon feeling. So
yeah, like,
yeah, I think he's hit the right tone.
I love Dumb and Dumber. Don't tell me it's an Oscar movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be disappointed if that's my expectation going in.
We need to get to a quick break. On the other side, we'll talk Lincolnwood Lancer hoops with head coach Matt Milberg when Sports Saturday continues.
9:36 right here on FM 106. Once again, thanks to the Sports Saturday sponsors. They include Huff & Sons Funeral Home and Raymond Hillsborough in Farmersville. Mark Stern, your State Farm agent in Litchfield, Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, and Prairie Town Feed Service. They're serious about their service. Once again, today's Sports Saturday with Tim Mize and Sean Valent.
All right, Jen, thank you very much. Hey, Fighting Illini football today at Iowa, noon pregame coverage on 105.3 The Oxen. Hey, Iowa's ranked, Sean, so look out.
That's always a fun game over there. You know, I'd like to catch a game over there. I mean, Kinnick Stadium, I'm kind of a World War II guy. I mean, it used to be I just hated, I hate to say it, but I developed a little bit of respect, sympathy with the devil, whatever you want to call it.
There's something about Iowa, Sean. It's always, to me personally, always felt like more of a rival than Indiana.
Yeah, absolutely. And more consistent, certainly, over the years. I mean, Indiana's had some highs and lows, but, you know, it's got to be a fun trip. And I know a few people that work over there. And, you know, I never met somebody from Iowa I didn't like. Dad was born in Muscatine, so... that's just a neat venue. But the thing I love about a game at Iowa, I think the Illini fans have to do this sometime, take the train, and it's a very short train, but it's a classic old train you take to the stadium.
There you go. Win in Rome, I guess.
The
huh?
Kinnick shuttle, and it's not, you know, it's not Metrolink.
Well, that's good. That's a plus. On the phone with us right now is Lincoln Wood Boys basketball coach Matt Milberg. And coach, thank you for a few minutes of your time. And I guess the first question, very serious here, are the high and tight rules back in play for Lincoln Wood this year?
I can't believe you're starting me off with that kind of question.
I know.
But always great to talk to you. And, yeah, things are getting back to normal here at Lincolnwood.
Well, that is very good. And I know the enthusiasm for the boys' basketball season at Lincolnwood, it never really ends. The season ends, and it just rolls right into summer. So I can imagine that everybody is just ripping and roaring, ready to go.
Yeah, we got an intriguing start to our season this year. We got, you know, what I think is probably one of the most experienced staffs around. My assistant coach, Josh Johnson, has been with me for 8 to 10 years, and Coach Logan back on staff here. And, it's nice to have that experience. We got some injuries, which is new for me to deal with, I think, over the last 10 years here. That we have to get through, and most of our team is pretty young, so it's a new experience for me. It kind of rejuvenated, I would say, the mojo I got going on, but we're excited.
How does a quality assistant just impact the way you coach? You're able to put X's and O's aside and kind of focus on steering the ship, or what's that relationship to how you handle things on the sidelines?
I think me and Coach Logan laugh more at each other throughout the past couple weeks here, just looking at each other and smiling because we've been going at each other for the past 10 years. And he's like, that's how you do that. And he's like, well, we do this, but it was called this. So, you know, just like you would know with anything, the more you can beg, borrow, and steal from other coaches is going to make your program better.
And, you know, Terry Tote used to always say, like, in situations like this, he would say, Lincolnwood has two ones on the sideline. And, you know, Matt, something like that, it can't be overstated that when you get into the live fire of the season, to have a guy with that type of varsity head coaching experience sitting next to you, you can't really put a value on that.
No, I mean, there's going to be times where, you know, I'm going to look at him and he's going to look at me and he's going to give me his opinion and I'm going to roll with it. And, you know, it's nice also having, you know, Coach Milberg in the girls program still, you know, right down the hall, and we can bounce ideas off each other there. So it's always nice to have that extra, blanket around you.
Well, I think that is kind of like the beauty, I guess, of like the Lincolnwood just athletic machine as a whole. You guys are all just kind of together, always talking shop.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it goes from any program. You know, I help golf now and with Pinkston and, you know, Coach Webb in soccer and, you know, Coach Stone and the baseball team. You know, we all want what's best, I think, for our kids here. And, you know, it's nice, you know, having the Morrisville guys be a part of that. And it's good mojo.
There's something special about that gym. It's got to be a fun place to play. You just don't get that atmosphere with so many of these prefab, you know, kind of squares and some of the things I've seen. There's just there's something, you know, you feel like you're walking into something special. You know, just the sound. It's like when you cross those doors, everything, you feel like you're in a different environment.
Yeah, you couldn't say that any better. You know, we really cherish our gym, and you know, Coach Logan coming over, and he just said that this gym just got a different feel to it, Matt. And it's nice to practice in there every day and get them, you know, with the fans feeling like they're on top of you, you know, get them back into the gym this winter. You know, we're excited for that. But, you know, one thing about this gym is when it's warm and it's loud, there's nothing better, especially on a Friday night.
Hey, it's warm.
Talk with Matt Milberg, Lincolnwood Boys.
It holds the heat well,
head coach. It holds
Casey
the heat well.
Casey Stengel once said.
That's exactly right. Matt, let's talk about your specific team this year. And, you know, we can start with that point. Younger team, they haven't experienced, as a player, the woodshed at its finest yet.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we got the thing about it is we got our two leading scorers back from last year, which, you know, in my 10 years, I don't know if I've ever had my top two scorers back in a given year. And you know, I'll be honest with you. We're just trying to fill in around them guys. We know everybody's going to throw their best at them too. And we're just looking to get those other guys to gel together. We're going to be quick. We're not very big, that's for sure. This is probably, whenever we're talking to them, I'm looking all of them about in the eye. I'm about 5'10", so.
Uh-oh. But you know what? That's classic Lincolnwood right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're wanting to push the ball up the floor, and, you know, we just did a drill. They're in practice right now, and you know, it's time drill, and it's the fastest we've been in the past 2 weeks. So they're getting up and down the floor. You know, we're playing our traditional man defense, but there might be a time I have to use that D word to accommodate, you know, maybe some foul trouble and lack of size.
Yeah, it's just it's a heck of a battle, and I guess the great thing about basketball, unlike football, when you've got 300-pound linemen on one side, 220-pound linemen on the other, it's hard to adjust to that. And I think that's the beauty of basketball. If you come in there and shoot the lights out and just, you know, play great defense, there are equalizers out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's Lincolnwood basketball right there. You just said it. I mean, we shoot the three really well. We defend really well. These younger guys, I tell you what, they don't have a lot of varsity experience, obviously, but they are a hardworking group of guys, that's for sure. You know, our leaders and our captains are trying to set the example for them, and it's nice whenever your best two players are probably the hardest workers every day. And whenever you have that, it really sets the tone for us in the for the rest of the season. You know, I'll be honest with you, we could see some. You know, we open up at New Berlin next week, and first game is Route, and they're ranked in state right now, and we're going to have some battles early on. But I think over the course of time, with these injuries and these guys getting back, we could be really tough down the stretch, and that's what we hope.
You know, that Bergschneider tournament up there in New Berlin, you always find out where you are real fast when you start your year there.
There's no doubt about that. you know, we choose to go there because of the experience that these guys can get. And typically we are one of the smaller schools there, but, you know, we won it 1 year, and it was meant the world to these guys. But, you know, when we come out of that, we typically have a pretty good December when some of these other teams weren't going up against some of these bigger schools. Mm-hmm. So it's just us trying to have to keep the middle side of it and say, hey, you know, weather the storm, learn from your experiences, and, you know, we want to win every game. There's no doubt about that. And the games that we do lose, we got to learn from, and that's where we're at.
Matt, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. We look forward to catching up throughout the year.
Always great to talk to you, Tim.
All right. That is Matt Milberg, the Lincolnwood head boys basketball coach. And, Sean, you alluded to it, and, you know, when I think of Lincolnwood, I think of dudes under 6 foot that just stroke it.
Oh, and just fun to watch.
Oh, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, there's something getting in. And kind of like Hoosiers, like when you watch that three ball sail up, you know, and twist and the revolutions, it's just magic against that backdrop. And, you know, it's kind of like, now this is the opposite end of the spectrum, but like I went to a game at the Homer Dome for baseball for the Minnesota
Twins.
I've been there.
I was there once as a kid.
And, you know, you go through those revolving doors because of the way they pressurize the stadium. And again, you walk in and, it's just all of a sudden you feel a different atmosphere. And, you know, everything sounds funny. Hello, Tim. You know, I'm sitting next to you talking, but it sounds like I'm in the upper deck and you're in the lower deck. And, you know, it's that effect in a positive way. I just, I don't know what is magical. And, you know, what a great place. You know, certainly a special place, I think, in a lot of people's hearts when I think of, you know, when we said goodbye to Terry, what a great venue for that. Special place.
No doubt about it. And yeah, the woodshed is just a beauty. It's one of its own. And, you know, it's kind of like the Wrigley Field, the Fenway Park. You can't replace that thing.
No.
You got, do what you got to do, but make sure it stays up to all the current code or whatever you got to do, because that thing has to be around for another 100 and whatever years.
And if anyone wants to replace it, we ought to reenact the Salem witch trials. I mean,
I don't think if you're going door to door getting petitions for that, I don't think you're going to get too many signatures.
You're a one and done school board member.
That's exactly right.
If you're a superintendent, polish up that resume.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk with Carlinville girls basketball coach Darren Deneve when Sports Saturday continues.
9:52 right here on FM 106. Once again, thank you to the Sports Saturday sponsors, Garrell's Auto Body and Repair. See Dwayne Garrell doing it right since 1982. Woods Basement Systems, Litchfield National Bank, the friendly bank with three locations to serve you, Montgomery Nursing and Rehab in Taylor Springs, and Mike Velovich, your REMAX agent in Macoupin in Montgomery County. Once again, WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Bellent.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Welcome back here on Sports Saturday. We've got Darren Deneve coming up in just a moment here on the program. And, Sean, you know, we talked last week about how it was kind of a slow week, just not much going on as we were waiting for the football quarterfinals. This is the exact opposite. You got the football semifinals. Girls basketball is rolling, and boys basketball tips on Monday. The winter season is off and rolling. Wrestling will be going before we know it.
Yeah, we're living in fast forward, as Kenny Chesney once said. It's an exciting time of year, and you know, it's like I went to high school without football, which to me is criminal. And the start of the school year, and it was especially annoying in my case because they were ready to start the JFL and the JV program like when I was, you know, in kindergarten. And then somebody ran for school board, got rid of the program. And you go to school in the fall, and there was just no energy. It's like, we're going to August heat and everything else. But, you know, it's good to have basketball to kind of really heat things up.
Yes, it is. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville girls, Darren Deneve. And Darren, good morning, sir. How you doing today?
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing all right. Now, you got a noon tip today. Is that right?
11, actually.
Oh, 11? I was on East Coast time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if time in Bunker Hill is a little different than here in Central Macoupin County. Or,
time's not, or but math more. Is, you know. What are you going to do?
Well, exactly.
Darren,
I was beginning to wonder if I was kind of the Matt Damon of the Jimmy Kimmel Show here where you were. I was. Maybe you didn't have time for me.
Always got time for you. I'm just running grossly behind today.
I'm the Guillermo.
All right, fair enough.
Darren, it's hard to believe that you have been at Carlinville the length of time that you have. Has it gone fast for you? Because, what, this is year 15, 16?
This is my 16th year at Carlinville. I guess my 29th year coaching overall.
Boy.
And it has gone fast. But, you know, we raised our children here. You know, we got here when my son Andrew was heading into kindergarten, and now we're empty nesters. And so it's gone fast. It's kind of a new chapter for the job and a new chapter of life, and it's just we're looking forward to seeing what's next.
And, you know, talk about new chapters. It feels like we're kind of in an evolving chapter of girls basketball around the area where numbers are a real struggle there. And you know, I look at a Southwestern, the tradition, the struggle with numbers. I look at your program. You guys have been good basically the entirety of your tenure there, but yet you struggle with numbers as well. Just talk a little bit about the challenge when the numbers are as low as they are for your program here.
It's hard to put a finger on what's going on. You know, like you say, Southwestern is low on numbers. You know, if there's a couple of teams in the area that we've had rivalries with, it's Southwestern and then Litchfield. And Litchfield's kind of in the same category as us right now. And we've got about 10 kids. And it's the biggest challenge really is practice and then trying to keep people healthy and, you know, having a good scrimmage at practice and, you know, trying to, I don't know, convince everybody to compete all the time, even if, you know, maybe there doesn't seem to be that much competition, you know, in the room. And so it's hard to have a great practice with 9 or 10 kids, but we're doing the best we can.
Wait, Coach, you know, we hear about burnout, and I don't think we have the select team phenomenon like elsewhere, but do you think there's just a burnout factor with youth sports, or is there something you spot out there that maybe is a contributing factor to kids losing the fire by the time they hit high school, or is it just too many different options and, you know, fun with electronics, what have you?
I think you've hit on a lot of it there. I don't really know. I can't decide. You know, it's not really necessarily a pandemic thing for us. We kind of knew we had two of three classes here low on numbers, you know, from the time they were in middle school or even before. Our sophomore class and our senior class really has not shown great participation numbers ever. And so we kind of knew it was coming for us, but I can't explain it for some of the other schools in the area. But, you know, on the positive side, we've got a really interested, excited freshman class and similar eighth grade class. And so we're looking forward to building it all back up and having some great teams here as soon as possible.
Well, Darren, and those young kids, they have a great role model to look to, and that would be Jill Staten. Jill's one of those kids. She started basically, I think, every game since she was a freshman, so it seems like she's been with you for about 12 years, but I think this is, in fact, finally her senior year.
I think it is. We'll see. I'll try to check her transcripts. But no, she's been terrific. She's obviously a terrific athlete, and she has really grown into a leadership role here the last few weeks, and has been great with our younger kids and sort of getting them to learn how to play, and for that matter, also maybe recognizing that they're not, you know, as knowledgeable as she is, and so. She's been patient, but by the same token, she's been inspirational and trying to motivate the kids. And I'm really proud of the way she's progressing this year.
I'm going to go back to that big freshman class that you mentioned and talking about numbers and everything else. I mean, I know when we think of great feeder programs and youth sports, we think about someone being well-schooled in the fundamentals. But just how important is it that, you know, I think when you get a big freshman class like that, they obviously enjoy playing together, that they've built friendships, and maybe we don't talk about that aspect enough.
That could be. You know, they're just they're competitors. I've got, you know, a lot of girls in that freshman class that play lots of sports, and they like to compete. And so, you know, that's contagious, you know. Attitudes are contagious, and so good attitudes are contagious, bad attitudes are contagious, and they've got a great competitive attitude, and they want to learn, and like I said, I'm really excited about the fact that they play multiple sports, and those are the kind of classes that we like. Those are the kind of classes that we've, you know, thrived on over the years, like I said, we have this freshman class, and then eighth grade class, they like to play too, and so we're excited about building.
And Darren, you guys have had a couple of close games here at the outset, off to a 1-1 start.
Yeah. We sort of snatched victory from the jaws of defeat last night. We were down 5 with about a minute to go, and I think at that moment, with about a minute or 2 minutes to go, we had been 1-for-10 from the free throw line, and then all of a sudden we decided to make some free throws. So we were 5-for-6 in the last minute, and Joe made a great play driving to the basket, and Isabel Taberzi got an offensive rebound on a free throw and got fouled. Anyway, we started to make our free throws and got the stops, and I don't know, found a way to pull one out last night against a pretty decent Athens team. And Tuesday night against Williamsville, we battled hard and played pretty well. Again, just sort of struggled shooting the ball, not only from the line but from the field. But I think all that will come around here as the season rolls along.
Well, then that last night, now that's almost a teetotal special, because Terry would always say he didn't want any stats. He didn't care what a person's free throw percentage was. He would say to me, "But what are you shooting the last minute? I don't care if you shoot 80%. What are you shooting in the last minute? 1-for-10, schmin for 10, 5-for-6 in the last minute. That's all that matters."
Well, I'm with Terry on that one. I don't know. I think I have less hair this morning, or grayer hair this morning than I did last night, but we did struggle for a while. And, you know, like I said, we struggled on Tuesday night too. I think we were 4-for-17. So I think we started the year a robust 5-for-27 from the line, and then we're 5-for-our last 6. And so hopefully we'll just continue that.
There you go. What have you done for me lately?
I'm telling you, and I still love that Matt Damon reference. I think we got to close every show. Well, we'd like to thank you. We weren't able to get him on. I don't care if it's slow pitch softball season, golf season, football season. We had to close every show with that. We'd like to thank Darren, Coach Darren, who who we didn't have time for.
I could be your backup guy. You know, I know you got more important people to talk to, and so I just appreciate, you know, the few seconds that I get every now and then on WSMI. So
Darren, we always love talking to you, buddy, and good luck today for the 11 o'clock tip. That's Central Time.
11 o'clock tip.
All right.
Good team. All right.
See you, Darren.
See you, guys.
All right, yeah. Darren's one of the greats. And, you know, Sean, we're so fortunate in our area that we get to deal with the administrators and the coaches that we do in our listening area. They're just all just a joy to work with. Anything we need, they get it to us.
Boy, he puts out great information, too. And again, you appreciate that because, you know, it used to be they're used to sports writers knocking on the door asking questions, and the game's changed. So they've kind of taken more, charge of getting their information out there about game information. You know, great emails you get from them, and can't say enough, and informing you of what's going on at Carlinville High School. So hopefully home of the state champion pork chop sandwich.
That's exactly right. What the announcement for that should be coming up. Why didn't you talk to Darren about it? I forgot about the state winning pork chop. Oh, man, we missed a golden opportunity.
Hit redial. Those phones still have redial? I don't even know.
I don't think so.
I don't know how those phones work. Star 67.
What's a dial tone?
62, whatever.
Never heard of a dial tone. What is that?
I don't know.
I think I heard one in a museum once.
I use the word ringtone in front of a kid, and they just looked at me like, oh, my word, are you in the Smithsonian, sir?
Maybe.
Yeah, we used to buy ringtones. It was really cool.
Hey, that is it here for WSMI Sports Saturday. Thank you so much to the Hall of Famer Dave Kane for joining us. New Litchfield basketball coach Nick Gernt, Lincolnwood boys basketball coach Matt Milberg, and Darren Deneve, who evidently will be a guest every week.
There you go.
On Sports Saturday. Hey, noon pregame today. It'll be Illinois at Iowa, 105.3 The Ox. Does Illinois cover the 12.5?
I definitely think so.
I think so as well. So, Jennifer, thank you very much. That is it for Sports Saturday. For Sean, I'm Tim. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.